This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 236, pre-recorded on October 15th, 2015. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live, and not in this case, broadcasting pre-recorded from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show each week with world-class show notes all out at theAverageGuy.tv. Home Gadget Geeks is, of course, a part of the Geeks Network. Find the links to this show and many other great podcasts out at the Geeks Network. .com. All right. Well, we are in a weird week. I was at the MVP Summit in Redmond, Washington, and not able to record a regular episode on Thursday. This episode, as I mentioned, is pre-recorded, and we were able to do that a couple weeks ago. And we did it from Blab. And so blab.im, if you haven't checked that out yet, a great platform to be able to do these kind of things. Post-show, we took it to. We took it to Blab. Mike Wieger and Andy Salcido joined me over there. I thought you'd enjoy a great conversation about as long as a regular podcast. And hang tight, we'll get through it, and then I got some things for you at the end. So with that, I'll say we'll move it over to our Blab conversation. Thanks for listening. So, okay, we're going to open up a seat. We'll take the first person that jumps in here. The seat is open. We'd love for you to have a tech question. We'll talk about tech questions in the chat room, which is over here, I think. Go over there. You always got to do the opposite side, right, when in your own camera. I think when you're looking at you, you go the opposite way. So I think the chat room's over here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
no, chat room's over here.
I don't know. There's the other feature about Blab. If you're new to Blab, and a lot of my listeners that just came over, this might be the first time that you've done it. You can click the props, right? The hands down below there, those little props, and you can follow us on Blab if you want to do it. Most people, I think, got in via Twitter, which is the easiest way to get it done. Yeah. And the chat's on my left. So chat is over here. Am I pointing to the right? You know what? It depends. The website's responsive. So it depends on how wide you have your gotcha. Thing open, because it'll move over to the left and then it'll move down depending upon how you're doing that. So if you, thanks for tweeting, guys. Yeah, run up here. Tell a little bird. That helps kind of get the word out. We'd like to gather kind of a crowd out here tonight. It'd be good, kind of fun to do it. But a seat is open. So what you do, it's best if you have a camera and a microphone for the seat, but click on that open seat down in the corner. I think it's down in this. And I'll start getting Schoonover. So Schoonover is going to join us. Let's get Schoondoggy in here.
Cool.
And see if we can. Now, the first time is always the hardest. So we'll see if we can get him connected.
Now, getting audio out.
Is no, that well, have you used Blab before? Is this the first time?
I've not. And that's why I was glad you did this, because we're doing quite a bit of podcasting at work and having our marketing team kind of rework those. And from the demos I've seen, I think this works quite nicely for some of the more ad hoc tech discussion kind of things, where we just want to bring together different folks from inside my company to share some ideas and talk about stuff. I guess big question, is there any kind of record function to this, or do you have to do like a Camtasia screen capture?
No. So we're recording it right now. If you look up in the corner, there's a little red dot that says recording. This is recording.
Yep.
And so no, super easy. The only thing, Kevin, it's not is private.
Okay.
So if you're, everything's public, whether you are recording or not, everything is public.
And there's no way to restrict that, huh?
No.
Just to use as a platform for,
No, it's everything right now.
Keep that in mind kind of from a use case point of view.
Yeah. We've thought about taking what we do at Gallup, you know, but all our shows are public. We don't, the ones I do, we you know, and we don't really have any more than four guests. So this could work. I just have trained everybody to go, you know, I've trained everybody to do it the Hangouts way.
It's the switching cost. Before.
Yeah. You know? Hey, Addy, what have you seen? Have you seen problems? You've been out here a little bit with me. What kind of problems are you seeing on the, with, again, we're talking about Blab. I should stop doing that.
I was just going to say, is there a buzzer?
That's okay. We're not doing that. Kevin, any tech questions? You got a question for us tech-wise? Anything? You don't have to.
Not right offhand. I guess I'm so as we're recording, I should have the disclaimer that I got out of surgery today. I had a tendon fixed on my finger, so if I say anything offhand, it's the Percocet talking, not me. But no, you got good conversation before. I think from a technology point of view, and I think you know, when you're talking about the phone aspect, I think things have gotten kind of stale all the way around the horn from a phone point of view, and very much looking forward to you know, Mobile 10 from Windows to see what's kind of new and fresh there. But played a little bit with Android 5.0, and you know, it's nice, it's smooth, but I didn't see anything earth-shattering or breakthrough there either.
You know, how much can you iterate on that?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like the iPhone, right? I mean, there's some new features, and there's some hardware coming out on the iPhone that allows you to kind of, you know, press and hold and right, Mike. I mean, there's some new things that are out, but is that really earth shattering? Or
that's what I start to get to. Is that's when I know it's getting stale. Is when I start to think, man, all these things are so gimmicky. You know, I think of certain things and I see advertisements. I'm like, Apple, come on. You've always been a little bit to, you know, pump up some really little feature, but it's getting bad to the point where it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. They are getting stale because we're pumping up things.
Yep. Only other tech thing I can think of is I had to pop into my local Micro Center store yesterday to pick up a couple of things, and was very, very pleasantly surprised that there was a whole wall of Maker-like products. So Arduino boards, Arduino shields, Raspberry Pi boards. Micro Center's taken a really nice step into that community. And surprise on my part, the semiconductor end of our company, Arrow Electronics, kicked out their own Raspberry Pi-like board called the Dragon. It's a 64-bit ARM version using Qualcomm's latest Dragon chip, and it's really quite a cool board. So the Maker stuff is getting kind of a surge these days as well.
Now, Addy, have you messed with any of the new, the Internet of Things stuff, the small, the Maker components, the 3D printers? Have you done anything with those?
Never, no. I do have interest, but I feel like it would be a huge investment.
Yeah, it's getting cheaper.
Have you looked at Little Bits at all?
No, Little Bits.
Little Bits is the coolest thing for like STEM projects and things. They're basically little modules. You plug them into each other, and you can make circuits. They've got a web based board right now. The gal that founded the company, very, very interesting kind of technology slant. She's trying to help fill that gap where people stop learning how to make things. We just use things instead of making stuff. So
cool.
And with that, I'll pop off and let somebody else take
the
hot seat.
Kevin, thanks. No, thanks
for joining us.
You bet. We'll see you, Kevin. That's the best. That's the best part of this is you can just.
Oh yeah, just in and out.
Kevin, Addy's. Kevin's one of our best when it comes to. I don't know. People ask me how I find time to do this stuff. Kevin knows so many things. I was like, how do you learn all these in that? And so yeah, the Maker community. When we think about Maker in the, you know, there's this whole movement. Oh, we just lost Addy.
Oh,
she's been having some bandwidth trouble. So
yeah, just a little bit.
This is an area where I think maybe the Hangouts are better. Is I think they hold you a little bit better in Blab. You saw her go audio only, and she came back, and then she dropped. So Addy, if you're listening to us, come back. We'll have you come back in.
I like how cropped this is, by the way. I like square. I don't know why. Yeah.
But terrible, terrible audio or video quality. Yeah. But it, you know, it doesn't. It's not.
It doesn't
that's
matter
not
for talking
point.
Heads. I mean, really, and the audio sounds really good. Actually, I'm surprised. How does it sound coming out when you download this later?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think it's better. The video quality is better too on the recording side. So we'll take this and I'll make a home tech tip or something out of it so people can kind of see it.
And it does the Foursquare Brady Bunch thing in the output too. Okay.
It does. Now, at this point, I think it would shift us down and it would just be side by side. And then when Addy joins us again, it'll pop back in. So there's Addy's back. So let's bring her back in. Mark had mentioned in the chat room, she's back. Yay. Mark had mentioned he just signed up for a Udemy course on Arduino with an Arduino board. Raspberry Pi would be in the same kind of category as that. Mike, you still need to come by. By the way, you need to come by Gallup so I can give you the shirt and get you your Raspberry Pi back.
And I'll give you
we'll
back
take
your
questions.
Audio interface.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Round robin with the text,
haven't seen each other. We'll take questions in the chat room as well. If you can't, if you want to come in, it's /Q. Is that right? /Q or is it Q mm-hmm. /Q?
I believe /Q.
/Q space. Okay. Type your question and you'll see, you'll get a special, it'll pop it up as a question and then we can go. You can also mention if you want to, there we go. So, Ken, I just saw Totes Magotes. That's Ken. He just did a test question. So it was successful. So /Q gets you in. That also shows up in the top. We have some breakdowns of mentions of up top. You can mention someone if you just put in there. So I'm going to say hi to Addie, right? So I just mentioned her in there. There's a little, if you hover over their name, there'll be a little star if you like what she said. Like, so Ken said a test. I'm give him a star for this. So that's some of the functionality, just since we're new to this, of kind of how to make it work. But we'd like to take a couple questions, your point of view. Anything we talked about tonight, if you were in our chat room tonight and you talked about it, we'd love to come in. A lot of things, we covered a ton of ground when we think about all the things we talked about in an hour.
Someone asked how El Capitan is for the Mac side, the new upgrade, the new operating, and just some basic overall feelings. I was on the beta on my laptop, but the problem is my laptop is a 2009, so it's old. So it's old hardware running the new software, which actually is kind of nice. It's a kind of a benefit because El Capitan was a lot of under the hood improvements, meaning speed improvements, stuff like that. So it was actually kind of beneficial to run it on an old machine and see how it helped. Really nice. I really like it. There's things that Microsoft has had for a while. So like split screen, dragging things to one side and it snaps, which I always make in those things. But overall, it's mainly just performance. That's what I mean. There's some other things here and there. Spotlight got a lot better. The one thing overall with iOS 9 and Spotlight is I like the photo search. So I can ask Siri, hey, show me my photos from Cancun, Mexico, or show me my photos from last July, and she'll just pop them right up. She'll show you all those photos. And you can do the same sort of thing in Spotlight, kind of that contextual sentence, or ask Spotlight with it. So overall, pretty cool. I like it. Haven't played with it too much, though, on my iMac. I just installed it. I was kind of afraid to. There's a new problem with their whole new system integrity, where they're not letting apps make changes anymore like they used to. So an old game that I had that I played with a buddy, that didn't work anymore. So there's some new things we got to get used to. A lot of apps, like if you had any custom Finder apps or if you had any apps that would do anything to the kind of the system at the core level, a lot of those broke. So developers are having to come out and rework around the way that stuff. Just some.
Eddie, what about you? Did you upgrade?
So I have not. Oh. I have. Yeah, I usually wait a while. It's kind of something that you brought up earlier with like Windows 10. I kind of wait till things kind of settle for a little bit, then I'll update everything.
Yeah, you know, I always run multiple PCs. This is one of the things about being a PC guy. It's a lot easier to run multiple PCs because the equipment's just cheaper, right? So I can get three PCs for the price of one Mac. So I always get to test on other equipment. So that kind of allows me to have a production box I don't ever mess with. And then I might have a test. Recently, I've been testing Windows 10 in a VM. So I just run it virtually, and it's not, you know, I'm running it on a piece of hardware, but it's not really taking up or running that piece of hardware. So huge advantage when we think on the Microsoft side of having a Windows Server with Hyper-V, where I can run any version of Windows, just about 7, 8, or 10. And then on Azure, you could run just about any instance of anything out there if I want to run something to get that up and running. The only thing I can't run on Azure is Mac. they're, you know, but any variants of anything I can pretty much run on Azure cloud-based with the subscription that I have, and that works out pretty well. So let's see. Question. So Ken asked, Addie, are you still rocking the stand-up desk?
Yes. Sorry, I missed your question. I was just like listening attentively. But yeah, I'm actually standing right now.
And you had done a cleanse, right? At one point, I think the last time. Oh, she just locked up. Can you hear us? Okay, good. You had kind of gone through a 30-day, or you kind of journaled, right? That with technology. How did that go for you?
Yeah, 40 days.
40 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like everything. The first couple days are really tough, and you have your natural tendencies. But after, I would say, a solid 3 days, everything just ran smoothly from there.
Good. And you use technology, right? You kind of, I want to say, you know, you put that on YouTube, right? You did a little short video every day and posted that.
Yes, I did video blogging as well as, so this is where gadgets come in handy, right? I always used a smart lab with my iPhone, really simple, go to anywhere I went, to the beach, to hiking, the park, I would just blog every single day of how that journey went with the juicing. And getting like complicated, loving this, I'm tired of it.
Like, yeah.
Just through this roller coaster that it takes you on.
It's a mental deal. I mean, it takes a lot of mental fortitude to get through, because you just want to chew. You're like, I want some pizza. Yeah. I've done a 10-day. I never did 40, but I've done a 10-day fast with lemonade. It's a lemonade mix with maple cayenne. Syrup.
Yeah.
Cayenne pepper. No, I cut out the cayenne. There's no way. That was not happening with me at all. So I did the two parts of the three, right? And and that worked out really well. I lose a bunch of weight. I feel really good at the end. Man, I felt so good. Did you feel really good at the end of 40 days?
I felt really good. A lot of clarity. So much that I kind of let work. A lot has been happening with business-wise with the past couple months. And I kind of let my health go. And now I'm craving to do the juice again, because the natural energy and excitement that you feel when you wake up, when you go to sleep, it's the best sleep that you get, the best energy that you get. So I highly recommend it, but not everybody needs to do 40 days. I did 40 days for a personal reason. I just wanted to challenge myself, but I feel like the normal person could do good with a good 3-7 day and you're fine. You don't need to do 40 days.
Yeah. 7 to 10 is kind of what I've heard from that. Jason is asking, what do you feel like the health benefits for the stand-up desk are? Is it benefit? He's thinking about it. Would you recommend it?
I highly recommend it. I have, so I do have a stand-up desk, and I do have a normal desk where I can sit down. Podcasting, because you're a podcaster too, Jason, you feel like your voice comes out more naturally. You don't have to, not that you have to come out like a sports announcer or you have to have that energy. You just, your voice resonates a little stronger when you're standing up. So I feel like my energy is more relaxed. I can breathe better. I can go do conversations a lot longer. I feel more like, I think your energy is just a lot better when you're standing up. I do sit down when I have to do some more thought out processes, or I'm trying to plan something. I do need to sit down and kind of, you know, sit down. It's mental, right? It's all mental state. But energy wise, when you stand up, it feels really good.
That's a good answer. I will remind you, if you're watching us, just joined us, we have an open seat. We're taking, if you have a tech question, you want to come in and ask us or comment along those lines. We're a tech show. This is Home Gadget Geek. So we're talking about tech. You can come in and get that done. Ken asked the question, Addie, last time you were on a year ago. Sorry, it took us so long to get you back on. I had you scheduled at one point and it didn't work for you, but you helped tweak Jim's microphone settings, treble and bass. How do you like Jim's audio and how is Mike's now?
That's a very good question, because I think mine is awful. So
what do you think, Addie?
I will have to say, and this is a little funny, when we're on Google Hangouts, it was better. The audio was a lot better than what I'm hearing on Blab right now. Blab is acting a little glitchy on my end, which is why I froze up a couple times.
We don't see you right now. You're audio only. So I think you're having some bandwidth. Oh, do you?
Yeah, isn't that weird? And earlier I didn't see her, but you guys were. I could tell you guys could see her, but I couldn't see her. So that's weird.
So and Ken says he sees her. So who knows? Let me, earlier I had my bandwidth. But Addie,
did you ever notice anything about my audio? Back in Google Hangouts, any bass down or up?
Sounds pretty good. Again, if I were to rated on Blab right now, I would say it's pretty bad, but that's everybody's audio that I'm hearing.
Right.
It's glitchy, but on Google Hangouts is really good. And when, what's his name? Kevin, who joined us earlier.
Yeah.
His audio is really good too.
Yeah. No, he sounded good. I could hear him very, very clear. So Chris Murray asks about preferred mics. Mike and I are both on ATR 2100s. That's kind of it's become the de facto podcaster's mic. That's between $35 and $70 on Amazon, depending upon where the stock market is. What are you rocking, Addie?
So it's the same exact microphone that you guys have. It just has a different outlook. So it's black. And the dome is a little more flat. You guys have a rounder dome, but tech-wise, because I looked at the specs, it's the same exact microphone. This is the AT2005.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and I use both at work. So we purchase, just depends on what's cheaper, be honest. They're both, what's interesting is the silver ones have a on-off button that protrudes out of the body. in the black one does not. And surprisingly enough, people have the hardest time finding that switch when they've never used the mic before. So I bring them on and it's always off. No matter, like the last guest I turned on, doesn't matter. It's turned off when it gets there, right? I think they do it subconsciously. And so you're trying to talk the guest through, you know, it's working. You see the blue light, you know, it's working. And the first thing I always say is turn the mic on because they can hear. And they'll look over at the mic, you know, and then they'll turn it on. Oh, I can hear them. So it's a little more intuitive on the 2100s than it is on the 2005s. But at the studio at Gallup, I use the 2005 as my mic only for looks because it matches, kind of matches the whole look. So yeah, 2005, 2100. I think if you're just getting into this, by the way, I think it's a minimum mic if you're going to do any video conferencing with anybody, even in business. I think everybody should have a mic and an arm.
And I hate calling it that. I say the same thing. I say, oh, it's a minimum, but it's really not. I mean, it's a great sounding mic. There are mics that are two times the price, sometimes even three, that don't sound as good. And someone asked about the blue mics, you know, the Yeti and the Snowball. I use the Yeti. That's what I use for a long time, but it's a condenser mic as compared to these are dynamic. So that blue, especially when I was doing live and doing stuff where I don't want to edit post, my apartment is not that great for sound, and you can hear a pin drop. You can hear the air conditioner turn on. You could hear if my dog breathes, you know, a room away. So I like these because they're dynamic. And just for me, if you have a great audio setup, if you've got a really quiet room, if you live alone, you don't have to worry about people making sound, they're okay. And they sound fantastic. I do miss the sound quality, but you have to have a great recording. When I use that, I told my wife, you can't breathe. Okay. When I'm doing my show, you gotta leave. So
we both have, I got a Yeti right there. I have a Yeti blue right there. Yeah. And Mike, you've got one too. We both started with those, but you're right. My famous saying is you can hear a cricket fart outside. Right? I mean, it's
Yeah.
And my chair used to squeak the one I was on. And it would just, and you pick up all of that. It's a great mic, right?
Oh,
but
it's
you
fantastic.
Just pick up all of it. So,
yeah.
That, by the way, this is the number one argument we have in the podcasting community is around these silly microphones. And
dynamic versus condenser.
Yeah. And you know, everybody's like, no, condenser's better. It is. It is a better mic. It picks up more sound. It's got a bigger diaphragm. So those are great mics. The question is, if you have a noisy environment, I mean, tonight, you guys couldn't hear this, but during the show, my family came in the house. They were talking upstairs. I could hear all that. If I'd been on a Yeti, that all would have come through. You would have heard and then you don't want to mute and unmute because you hear me do that all the time. And so in most home environments, the 2100 just absolutely rocks it. So,
and it transitioned with me when I first got the ATR. I was just doing USB to the computer when I first started doing live. And then, you know, when I wanted to get more advanced, I whipped out I got a mixer and I was like, oh, sweet. It's already built in. I can do XLR too. So that's my favorite part. And I can do both at the same time if you want to cheat a mix minus out of the whole.
Addie, you were rocking the blue or the blue 100, weren't you? For last time we talked, I think that's what you had, right?
Yes, the Encore. I do use that as my primarily podcasting microphone. But for situations like this where we're going to do live stuff and it's straight into the like Google Hangouts and Blab, I just go ahead with this type of microphone. But the Encore, Blue Encore 100 is what I use for podcasting.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, I'll remind you, we got an open seat and we're letting you in. We're not going to beg you to come in. I know some Blabs, people are waiting. No, you got to ask me to come in. I'm not going to ask you. So don't be that guy or gal. If you want to jump in, if you got a tech question, you can either put it in the chat room right down below or jump and take an open seat. We'll do the Jim Rome, you know, have a take and don't suck. And, you know, we'd love to have a question, an interesting conversation to bring in. This has always been, I'll be honest, this is what kept me from Blab when it first came out, is that crazy. We had that one night. Some guy jumped in and he had a vape and he was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, oh boy. And I held on a little too long. I should have let him go. As soon as I did that, I should have let him go. And then he started talking and we were like, well, thanks for coming in. You're gone. From that standpoint. But
Jason, I'm super jealous, by the way. He mentioned he has a few of those 2000s. Mm-hmm. 2100s and 2005s, and he can get four of them into his H5 when he's on the road. And I need an H5 tomorrow. We're going on a road trip, and I've got the Tascam DR40, which does two, which is good enough. But we have a guest that's riding in the car with us tomorrow all the way to Minnesota, and we want to do a three-person podcast, but we're going to have to share a mic, the two inputs, unless I don't want to take a mixer. So I'm just going to do it that way. But I'm jealous of your...
Eddie, do you have a digital recorder that you recommend?
I do have the Zoom H4N. Oh, nice. I think is that it's called? I don't know. But the one H4N. Before the H5 that Jason has, I'm really jealous of the H5. There's even an H6, but I hear a lot more people using the H5 just the way Jason's using it. There's a lot of benefits using it that way.
Just a reminder, we're taking, if you want to jump in, we got open seat questions in the chat room. Love to talk about that as well. We're trying not to default to podcasting questions, and that's okay. If you got some great discussions about microphones, if you're new to Blab, we want to welcome you. We are in the post show of Home Gadget Geeks. We do a show, Mike and I do a show every week over at theaverageguy.tv. I did a little pre-show tonight, didn't record it, so it's not out there. And then I thought, hey, let's jump onto Blab and see if this works from a post-show concept. It's super easy to end the show over there. We normally go another hour over there. We don't re-record it, only in case something really cool comes out of it. Doesn't always. Sometimes it does. Sometimes I just don't have enough time to edit it. That's the hardest part about, and you guys are podcasters with me, while we're waiting for somebody to come in with a question or join us in a seat, that editing time is killer, because sometimes you could sit down and get 2 hours of good content, but it takes another four to pull that content out, right?
Yeah.
Addy, do you struggle with that at all when you guys work in your podcasting world? Is it tough to get all that stuff? Do you do any of the edits for your podcast, or does somebody else do?
We do share the load. But the way we record, again, this is the beauty of recording with podcasters. We already know how our level should be. We prep ahead of time. We have templates. So the editing is very minimal nowadays. But when you're podcasting with someone who doesn't know podcasting and they don't have the right microphone and their levels are all over the place, that is tedious. I remember I got an hour worth of content one time. It was just so bad, cutting in and out. Skype wasn't all the best. And it took me about 3 to 4 hours just to edit that hour of content to 30 minutes of good content.
Yeah, it just takes a ton of time. Mike's in law school. This is the crazy thing. Like, Mike is in law school. Mike is in law school, and he I just wondered how you get it done. Mike, how do you, like, so you and Colin recorded open mic night last night, right?
Yeah.
And how do you get it all done?
Mainly I do all my sound effects during the show. So I've got my iPad there with running in the soundboard app, and I can just do them all. And editing, I bring up some levels, but we've gotten to the point now where we know our levels good enough that we don't have to adjust those too much. I know the exact things I'm going to have to do when I edit. I got to bring up my intro because it's a little bit quiet on the iPad and do certain things. And I can edit in about 15 minutes. Now, obviously I sacrifice some quality, but I just don't have time. So if I had more time, I've definitely gone back and listened to episodes, and I hear me say, oh, wait 5 seconds. Okay, that didn't get cut out because I totally forgot about it. I didn't have time to listen to it. So I should never give podcasting advice because I don't do it the right way, but I do it in a way that gets it out for me and it gets the podcast out there. And my listeners know that. They know they're going to hear some stuff and they know that it's not, but for me, that's okay. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm funny or it works, but yeah, I'm about 20 minutes of editing, and then, posting it around the different places takes about 20 minutes and I'm done. So I only have about 40 minutes.
And you quit doing video.
And I quit doing video. That cut out about an hour and a half. Yeah, that cut out a ton of time just because of rendering time and upload time. I don't have the fastest upload speed here, and I would have to send it to the radio guy, to YouTube, to all these places, and way too. And so
you mentioned the radio guy. I haven't put anything up there in like 3 weeks.
Well, I hadn't either, and he left me a voicemail today. I need to give him a call back. Yeah. They're back up now. They had been down for a while, and I just never knew when they came back up. So, starting this time, we can start sending those. It's when I cut out video and when I cut out live, it saved a lot of time. I miss live, but it
does. Addy, do you guys do video as well, or is it just audio?
Just audio, no video.
And do you do it live?
We do live to tape. So as we're recording the show, it goes straight into a digital recorder instead of separate tracks. It's all into one channel.
But I mean, like, you don't stream it, so people can't listen while you're recording. Okay. Because, like, a lot of the podcasts I listen to now, two of them actually have just stayed with, they record audio, but they're live when they're recording it. Now, you know, they don't get too many people because it's very raw and they edit the crud out of it afterwards, but you can still go over and listen to them while they're going through it if you want to, which I think is kind of a nice feature. I think Colin and I might just start turning on the live stream whenever we do record and just have it there for people who want to stop on by, because I did find, especially on, you would get some listens from live, just people going to that live page and saying, oh, hey, who's live right now? And they just randomly, we got a ton of those. A lot of the listens actually on Spreaker live. So we might do that. We might hop back in. We're not going to, the schedule was, that was killer.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting to think that, and I've thought that through. Don't quit the video for, because, but just never render it. Dave McCabe over at Home Server Show, when we do that, that's kind of what he does. He puts it to YouTube and it's raw. He never changes it on YouTube, just leaves it. And he puts this big disclaimer. He kind of taught me how to do this, this big disclaimer in the beginning, like, hey, you've joined the video version of Home Server Show. This is an audio podcast. We use the video because we want to see each other. This is not a 3-minute version of anything. Kevin's gonna, this isn't a 3-minute version of anything. So you don't want to, you know, if you want to stay around, we're a long haul. So Dave says all those in advance to kind of warn people, but he doesn't use the video when he's done.
Oh, and, see, I couldn't do that. That would drive. Well, does he leave it out there on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, he just leaves it.
See, because I, just having that stuff out there. And when I did video, I had to use Wirecast and do all my intros and switches and stuff like that, because I just have that. I just couldn't stick with just one normal like Skype feed. It was just going back to audio is what.
Hello, Kevin. Do you have another question?
Well, Mr. Wieger, what is bringing you to Minnesota? Do you have permission to come to Minnesota?
Oh,
do you have an invitation or some form of border pass? We don't just let any riffraff come skating across the border.
Yet, but I know how to say boat, so I'm gonna come up and be on. And
that's Canadian. That's Northern Minnesota.
I don't know. All my friends up there, they talk pretty funny. So
no, we don't.
No, not at all. No. But we're coming up actually to visit some friends. My wife's best friend just moved up there. So they invited us up, and we were going to try and get tickets to the Husker game, but they were a little too expensive. So we're just going to go tailgate, hang out and watch two terrible teams play each other.
Come on. Minnesota and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Minnesota's okay.
They're better, but not by much.
Not a whole lot.
It's so painful.
If you get bored, hit me on Twitter. We'll be out and about. We could have a mini Minnesota meetup if you.
Are you in the Minneapolis area? Right around there.
Yeah, we're on St. Paul side of town, so we're over on the east side. And from looking at the chat area, we've got quite a few Minnesotans around here. So
yeah, they're showing us downtown Minneapolis, which I've never really gone to. So they're going to kind of show us around, and we might stick around there for the nighttime and see what the nightlife is like or anything like that. So yeah.
Well, and if you're a brewer pub kind of guy, it's not so much
downtown,
but surrounding downtown, there's tons of great brew pubs down there, and good big ones like Surly and Fulton and guys like that. So
give me your favorite. I'm gonna write it down, and I'm gonna try
currently, like, you know, Surly's probably my favorite currently, and Fulton is decent as well. I'll shoot you a note with a few others you should try.
Yeah, DM me or whatever.
Yep,
cool.
And with that, awesome. I'll give up my seat to
someone. All right, Kevin. This is how it's done. This is how people jump in and ask us questions. You see how Kevin did that? It's not that hard.
I like it.
And even if you just have a mic, even if you just have a camera with a mic on it, it'll be good enough to ask your question.
It didn't sound that bad when he first hopped in. That's all we got.
No.
It didn't sound terrible.
No, I'm a kind of a sound snob. So I
wasn't going to say anything, Jim, but.
Well, the funny thing, I don't want it perfect. I just want it on the mic. You know, it's one of those kinds of things that drives
me crazy.
If
they have one and it's not being used, I think that's what
I know. It's the missed opportunity. Drives me crazy when you know what drives me crazy even more? And Addie would never let this get away. And you know me now, so you don't let me get away with it. Is when I come on and I'm coming through a mixer, so I sound great to myself, but I'm coming through the camera mic, right? And I can't hear it.
Yeah.
And people don't say anything. Twice at work, I've done 150 podcasts at work. Twice in 150, I did a whole podcast, and I went back to edit it, and the guy who edits for me goes, "Dude, what was up with that?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You sound terrible," and I go back, "No one said anything," and I'm like, "Don't let you know, friends don't let friends podcast badly.
Right. Friends don't let their friends go to Iowa. Yeah.
That's what you always do, like tap on your mic. Okay, you're good to go.
You're like, oh, you're hearing me, right? That's what I did that earlier. I'm like, yeah, okay, we got on Blab. You're hearing me through this.
Which is so funny because we're not hearing that. When you're tapping, I don't hear anything.
Oh, because I'm not hitting it. Like,
oh, if I did, okay.
Yeah, he's probably hearing. I wasn't. That's not great. When you do that, it's not great for the.
No.
I forget what the diaphragm or compressor or whatever that's in there. I forget. So we got an open seat here. We're going to stay around for a little bit or until everybody falls asleep. We got an open seat. Come in, ask your tech questions. This doesn't have to be, we've been talking podcasting because we're all podcasters, but ask us your tech questions. Anything. We got a Windows. We got Mac experts in here. We've got some gadgetry. We've got some really smart folks in the chat room, by the way. We drug over a good chunk of our audience from Home Gadget Geeks. And these guys are super smart. So you can put your question in chat. Just do, in fact, Brian, one of those super smart guys, is going to join us right now. So we'll bring Brian in.
And I have one thing I'll mention after this too.
Yeah.
On Elk.
Oh, speaking of the Blue Yeti,
there
Mr. Brian Auer, how are you, Brian?
I'm doing good.
Oh, good. You're coming through the mic too. Nicely done.
Yeah. My question goes back to the new rechargeable Apple products that Addy had on. Have you noticed where the charging port is on the mouse?
I haven't. I haven't seen it. I haven't. This is still the battery one.
Yeah. It is on the bottom of the mouse using a lightning cable.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. They use the lightning cables for all three devices. And so it's going to be right here, plugged in like this, to charge it if you forget to charge it.
Meaning you still you can't use it.
Yeah, can't use
it. That defeats the whole purpose of what Jim was talking about, having that option. You'd think they would just... I tell you, whoever's in charge over there.
Next year, for another $89, you'll be able to upgrade to version 2.0, which will have it in the front.
No, they'll create a plate that has the lightning cable
mouse
that sticks
pad. That's just constantly charging it. So you just put it on the mouse, as long as you're using that mouse pad. Ooh, and they'll charge you $120.
What about a wheel on the mouse? That was all it would. All it did was, you know, create juice. And so as you're moving the mouse around, it's self-charging.
You're constantly just like a little hamster just spinning the wheel.
Well, that too. But I mean, just think about it. if you could get a little wheel under here that as you're moving the mouse around, it's creating and it's recharging the battery.
Brian, I want to thank you too. I've been playing around with Windows thanks to you.
Oh, good.
Tablet. It's awesome.
I'm sorry if you have ruined
your eyesight after about an hour of staring at that screen.
Well, the Plex remote thing actually has been pretty awesome. I've been trying to find some other kind of main uses for it. But yeah, I think I need to go back and fix it. I think I bricked it trying to upgrade it to 10. I can't restore it to anything. I got stuck in this vicious.
It still has its recovery partition. So you just.
I think I deleted that on accident, which don't ask me how.
I think I have the recovery partition on USB if needed.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, I'll see. I was gonna, when next time I go see Jim, like, Jim, just what did I do?
What, Brian? What was that tablet? What was that thing that you?
That's a Toshiba Encore Mini. We picked it up at last year's
snappy. Meetup. Okay, I was wondering when you bought it, because I'm like, I thought he said it was older. I'm like, it's pretty snappy for.
No, it's a year old.
Okay, yeah, it's still pretty snappy. I like it.
We got it at the Microsoft store with family discount.
Very cool, Brian. Anything else? Thanks for jumping in.
But that's about it for me.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for jumping in. Good to see you.
Thank you.
How you brought information. That was fun. Instead of asking us, I learned something.
So let's change it. We'll say if you got a question or you want to add to the conversation, jump in and take it. Open seat. Brian Auer, he's one of our regular listeners on Home Gadget Geeks over at theaverageguy.tv. And so if you're just joining us off Blab, you've come in. We are a structured tech conversation. We're trying to keep it structured in the way we can. And so if you have a question, you can join us. We have an open seat available. If you have something that's tech related to add value to the conversation, we're saying jump in and add that as well. And we'd like you to interact with us. Mike, you said you had one more thing.
Yeah. Well, kind of between people, you're talking about kind of getting nerdy and going back to El Capitan. If you want to, a lot of people install something called Homebrew on the Mac, which is a package manager run from terminal, which is the command line. So if you ever want to do certain things, like I have iPerf, which is the way I test internal same network, and Homebrew has been amazing. It actually broke a bit. There's certain things that work and certain things that don't because of that system protection that they put in. So I haven't really done the research yet to know what to do with it to get it to work again, or if you need to update or anything like that. But just people who know, because I know I run it like every day, and I was kind of shocked to see that. So if you run Homebrew and you haven't upgraded yet, know that that's going to break. So if that's a make it or break it, then you might want to wait to upgrade.
Remind folks if you're just joining us and you haven't tweeted yet, head over and it says tell a little bird. If you just click that, it'll tweet out this on your Twitter account. That'll help add a few more people to the. We got 14. We've had as many as 30, which is kind of cool. I love the instant stats that come here on Blab. We'd love to take your questions. You can either /Q in the chat room, or you can just jump in. We've got an open seat. Love to have your questions or bring some value to the tech conversation. Lots of tech out there to be available with and to get some feedback on. We'd love to have you come in here and get that done as well. And we'll hang around for a little bit longer. This is kind of fun.
Yeah. I do have a question. Have any of you guys used that little device called Tile? So if in case you lose something, you use your phone to find, you know, your car keys or your phone or your wallet. Has anybody used that device yet?
My cousin does. And I went over and kind of, when he got it for Christmas, I was over there and we were kind of playing with it. Kind of cool. Interesting. I haven't talked to him since. I know that, was it not available on Android or not available on Apple? I don't think it was available on the Android for some reason. I can't remember whichever one he didn't actually have the right phone. So he had to wait until he upgraded. They seem pretty nice. Are you thinking about getting one?
Okay. Yeah. My two question is, where's my phone? Where's my keys? Three questions actually. Yeah. And where's my wallet? I'm always losing those three things.
Mine's always my phone. So I do need, really I'm looking into all, that. I don't think, cause you need the phone to do it. So I'm out of luck. Yeah.
Kenneth asked me the question, have I seen any interesting devices in the wild while I was traveling? I've done a ton of traveling over the last 4 weeks, been all over the country. No, but you know what I'm noticing now? More card readers taking the chip. And so a lot of the places I'm going to now are like, oh, if it's the card has the chip, we're taking it now.
They have to. Officially, yeah. I think they're supposed to have to.
And I'm the president of the board of our credit union as well, and we're phasing in the chip for the credit union over the next 6 months, so that customers will start. They're not going to buy them all at once and ship them at once. They're going to kind of roll it out over time. It's a little bit expensive for these credit card companies to send these cards with the chips in it. These cards aren't cheap to do this. You get them in mass, but you know, you get a small credit union, and that's a significant investment in equipment for the customer that we get it. So I did notice a lot more, and it's funny. Everybody wants to put that chip in and then pull it right out in the, you know, the displays are like, leave the card in, you know, type deal. And so it was, I'm just seeing more of that. Mike, I've had a chance. I put the credit card on in Apple Pay and I'm all set to do that. I'm not motivated at all to take it out and use it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Addie, are you
addicted to your phone as I am? Cause I already have it out.
Dude, I'm on my phone.
I'm already texting while I'm checking out. So I just tap it while I'm in the middle of a text. You can just tap it.
It's not part of my natural movement. I don't know why. Addie, are you using Apple Pay at all?
No, I'm still old school. Just the card and cash.
Yeah. It's just, Mike, it's just a weird thing for me. It's not in my natural flow of paying. You know, I grab my wallet, pull the card out. No, swipe. Okay. Or tap. Okay. Or put the thing. Okay. I'm good. But it's all with the card. I don't know if it's because I don't know who takes it and who doesn't. And I'm going to say, hey, do you take Apple Pay? And then, oh, no. I don't know. Maybe I just need to start asking.
I don't ask. I just tap it and see if it works. And once you start using it at your vending machine at work, that's what got me. It's so awesome. I mean, that's just. Oh, it's too dangerous, actually, is what it is.
Robert says, do it a couple times and feel the convenience. Yeah. Okay.
It's not that convenient. It's not that inconvenient to pull a card. I mean, it's there. Like the credit card I use is right in the front of my billfold, and it literally slides out like this. No different than having to put a...
It's the fun factor still, honestly. Yeah. Because the thing is, you still have to carry your wallet around. They haven't solved that problem because it's not taken everywhere. And you need your ID anyway. So yeah, it's the fun factor. But one thing, okay, so from my understanding, and Jim, I was going to ask you, if merchants do not take the chip, if they haven't upgraded, and if something happens, they are liable, right? Isn't that the whole thing of like, but if they've switched, then the credit card companies are liable.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So that's the way it's.
And I just learned that today.
Okay.
Just learned that today.
That's what I was thinking. And so I was actually shocked about the amount of stores that I've still been to that don't take it.
I don't think they believe it.
Taking that risk. Yeah.
I don't think they believe it. Right. They're like, no, they've said this before.
All these other companies, and they'll, you know, how hurt Target would have been had they been liable for all that. I mean, the credit card companies have the money, and that's their line of business. That's not these merchants, and especially the people I kind of feel sorry for are those, you know, the mom and pop stuff.
Those point of sales are not cheap.
No.
To do it with the chip. I think of Panera. They were one of the first ones out the gate with these new point of sales machines, and they are nice. I mean, it's like a PC.
That's where I use Apple Pay the most is Panera.
Yeah.
Jason
says the drive-thru at McDonald's has Apple Pay. That seems a little ridiculous.
I handed my phone to the lady and she didn't know what to do with it. I told that story on the show, didn't I?
Yeah.
I was driving through. I'm like, oh, sweet. It says we accept Apple Pay. So I handed it to her. She looked at me. I'm like, the sign says you take Apple Pay. She goes, yeah, I don't know. She just hands it back to me. Like, something else, please. I was like, here.
You know what's awesome is Starbucks app now has pre-order.
Yes.
Right?
And fantastic.
So I'm in the hotel. This was last week, maybe Wednesday. It doesn't really matter. And I'm just coming out of breakfast, and I know I have to walk by the Starbucks down to the office. I'm going to grab mine. And so as I'm heading back up to the room to grab my bag, I just hit the order button. And I walk in, and literally as I walk in, I hear her say, call in, or whatever they call it, mobile order.
Yep.
Mobile order for Jim. And I walk right up and grab the thing and walk right out. No line.
Well, it's awesome for if you live near a busy Starbucks. So the one downtown at 15th and Dodge here is the busiest Starbucks, I think.
And that'd be a great one to do it at.
So we work right across the street, my offices. So I order it when I will leave my desk, and it's waiting for me. And the line at this place, just skipping the line alone, not even the time to make the drink, but the line alone, I save 30 minutes every time, and it's just ready. It's so cool.
Chipotle. I use it for Chipotle. Ooh. The one here close to me, it's always an hour long. I'm not kidding. Like, I thought Chipotle, it's like a quick line. No, I've had to use their app only when I want Chipotle. I have to use their app no matter what, or else I'm going to be in line for an hour. And it's so sweet. And I kind of feel bad for them because they just walk in, go straight up to the cash register. They're like, Addie, yep, thank you. And everyone's like, that's sad. Nice.
Like, if the line's long, you just order it at the end of the line, right? And get, you know, Jason mentions this. You know who's crazy about it now too is Taco Bell, right? They've got an app, and they are pumping out like, hey, spend $10 and we'll give you five or something like that, right? I mean, they are giving you some crazy deals on the Taco Bell app.
Truckload of food at Taco Bell. You can get 10 pounds worth of food.
Yeah, the app is the Live Moss. I think that's the front. It says Live Moss. And that's not a healthy Live Moss, by the way.
I was going to say, I don't need any more Taco Bell. I'm going to leave that app off.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those kinds of things. Hey, we still have an open seat. We'd love to have somebody jump in. Maybe we'll do one more call here before we call it a night. But Addie, the night's just starting for you. It's only 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock, yeah.
I've lost all my water weight by now.
Dude, you got to get a fan.
I might turn off the light and see if it's actually terrible.
Okay, yeah, drop off. If you're just joining us, we'd love to have you. We've got an open seat in here. You can join us, ask us questions.
Tell us what you want for Christmas.
Yeah, tech gifts for Christmas.
Gadget-wise.
What are you hoping to get? We'll throw this in the chat room, but you can also call in and tell us as well. Addie will be Santa Claus tonight. You can tell what you for Christmas. She'll pretend she's Santa Claus, but drop it in chat. What are you hoping to get for Christmas tech-wise? I have to think about that. We asked that during the show, but what's coming up? I think if I could get anything, what would I get for Christmas? You know, here's the problem is I just buy the stuff during the year, right? And then you're like, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I could do some Hue light. Nope, already got those. Well, I could use maybe a new laptop. Nope, got one of those too. I could use some peripherals, you know, for my. Nope, bought all those. So I struggle with that because I just buy. The light looks good, Mike. By the way, that's a better color on you. No,
that's just the computer screen.
Okay, so GP Podcast asks who has an Apple Watch. So Mike, you're sporting the
Pebble.
The Pebble.
Yeah, Pebble and the original Pebble, which the new ones look pretty cool. But the new ones are almost as expensive as the Apple Watch would be and not as fun iOS.
Yeah. Okay. Brian's going to jump back in. He's going to, Addie, while I'm bringing him in, what do you want for Christmas?
I do want the pencil that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, for the iPad.
Cool. Or I should actually, no, take that back. I do want those nice headphones, $300.
Those, somebody, you know what? I don't have a pair of those. It. Those would be cool. I mean, Brian, what do you want for Christmas, man?
Well, I've already ordered my i7 Surface 4.
Oh, yeah. Nice. How much was that bad boy?
$2,100 as a test unit before we roll them out to the rest of the company.
Oh, okay. Well, so you're not paying for it.
I buy all the tech for the company. So.
Okay. So you're going to, you're buying it for you. You're going to test it, keep it, but it's work equipment, right?
Yeah. I'm testing it for about a month and handing it to my CIO.
Okay. Can you say where you work?
I work for, RSR Corporation. We recycle lead acid batteries.
Oh,
so, nice. My question, is actually for first, Mike, are you up to pebble number 4 or 5 yet?
Four.
He keeps, just so everybody knows, he keeps submerging them in water, and they're supposed
because
to be
they say
water.
They're supposed to be waterproof. And I would not have a so problem much. With it if all the forums said everyone loves it. Oh, they're great for swimming. No, I can't like take a shower with this thing without it breaking. So I'm on number 4, and you would think that they would check their records and say we've sent him 4 new watches and they've all been because of water. Maybe we should tell him how waterproof. It's a sore issue. Sorry, Brian.
My question is, I actually come from a little bit different side of the AV thing. Part of my job is I actually manage both the phone system and the video conferencing. So I get to play with, let's see, next week I have a 64 site video conference running at once.
Oh, dang.
So, just a little bit more of the
64 locations. Is that what you're saying?
64 rooms.
Oh, 64 rooms.
Yeah.
But so what are you looking at? I mean, what kind of gear are you looking at to do that?
We use Cisco SX20s and C40.
Yeah. A little bit beyond the consumer, right?
That's what I've always wondered in those areas. Like when I'm looking at the screen, obviously I'm not seeing all 64 rooms. So is it just constantly?
No, all mine you do. I really? we go through a MSU or MCU to do it all. So I can actually show all 64 at once in thumbnails. And they go around the screen in thumbnails with a big talker in the middle.
Oh. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just IP. So that doesn't – in the old days, that was really hard. Today, it's not as hard, right? I mean, it's all IP-driven. And
It's not hard. What I run into the problem with mostly is Europe. They still, believe it or not, want to run – and it's Europe and the like the hospitals here in the U.S. really still like to use ISDN lines for everything.
Yep.
Yeah, like when I went through that signal both ways, right?
Well, like when I went through training on it, the Veteran Affairs have like 3,800 mobile VC units for doctors. So the psychiatrist you might see in Omaha actually is in Las Vegas, and they just wheel the VC unit in there.
No,
cool.
My question I have for you guys is: do you find the lack of having layout controls limiting on some of your podcast?
Oh, like being able to control the
like
the
active speakers, quality. Pinning speakers, large and small videos, especially when you have like the, I know like Jim usually has 2 or 3 connections in at once.
I used Wirecast when I did. Now I did a really bad job because I found out my limitation of doing video switching while doing the live show is pretty limited. But with Wirecast, I was able to set it up the way I wanted it to look, which I really liked. But I would have loved to do is have one more person in the room who's simply dedicated to switching back and forth. But you know, Wirecast let me show videos and outro videos. But now that I got away from video, I kind of missed that. The thing that drove me nuts was the audio quality, not being able to control fully the level of audio quality and maybe use Skype as a back end, which is a little smoother when you're live than Google Hangouts. That was always my issue with things, but it doesn't bother Jim as much. And I think the audio still sounds great, and it's gotten a lot better.
Oh. Abby?
Never used any of those.
Yeah, you guys will be live.
When your podcasts, how do you control audio? You guys double enders, or are you, how is the production done?
Double enders we rarely use. For the most part, it's just one of us doing the live to tape type of thing. But again, pre-show, we're always making sure that our levels are all synced up together. We do have a soundboard, so we play the sound effects ahead of time to make sure that they're coming in nicely. And the way that we use the software, whatever audio sound bite that you put in, like a sound effect. So you have the intro music coming in, and as we talk, it ducks it down properly. And ducking pretty much means here's the music, and as you're talking, it decreases it properly.
That's ducking right there.
Like that one. Yeah.
We just That's lost you. We just lost you. You went to robot.
She turned into R2.
Yeah. Yeah. It was R2D.
Yeah. Yeah. So say that last sentence again, Addie.
Yeah. So when you're ducking, a couple seconds, it doesn't sound so obvious. Am I cutting out again?
Yeah. Just as soon as you're like, so this is the way it's just, it happens right.
And then, it comes back for you to say, am I cutting out again?
Exactly. Try one more time.
R2A2.
Well, I think we get it. I don't, and what'll be interesting, I think when we're done with this blab, I'll get the option to get everybody's audio separately. Is that right? In the blab? So it'll be interesting. This is the first one I've done and recorded. I've always just been on somebody else's. So I'm interested to see what kind of resources we get out of this. Brian, I'm not a big, I spend too much time editing as it is. And so I don't need the complexity of getting audio controls. Both Blab and Hangouts do a pretty nice job of controlling everybody's sound and normalizing it so that you're all on the same. You're all in the same. It's going to run away from time to time, and you just can't help that. But no, not. I don't struggle. I'd rather focus on the conversation than focus on the control.
We're just, I'm checking because I'm about to switch in a couple of weeks to moving from that to doing basically one-on-one or one-on-two with recording the video actually for training videos for SAP. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't use Blab for that. Mm-hmm. I would use Hangouts. If you want to use something like that, Hangouts would be the way to go, and then just keep them private. And you can, it's a good way to do it.
And I'll try that. We use a company called Blue Jeans for some of this as well.
Yep. Zoom would work too. Yeah. All right, Brian, thanks for jumping in, man. Good seeing you again. How about one more? We'll try one more who's not Kevin or who's not Brian to jump in.
I think everyone else has pretty much said that they're not on video or they're on the microphone.
Around. They're afraid. They're not podcasters.
The people apparently that are chatting. Yeah, I know, right?
They're apparently not podcasters.
We love to hear ourselves talk. Podcasters will always hop on.
I can be ready to podcast in about...
I have something to
say. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. I can be ready to podcast in about 7 seconds.
Because I'm usually yelling at the car when I'm listening to a podcast with stuff I want to say, especially you and Dave, Jim.
Really?
I'm always just like, oh, man, I wish.
Dave McCabe or Dave Jackson?
Jackson. No. I have to admit, sadly, I don't listen to home service.
It's not in your niche.
No, nothing I do. Really,
That's the weird thing about what I podcast is. So I do Surface Geeks, which is about Windows and Microsoft Surface. Then I do this home server show, which is about Windows, but it's home storage, backup, those kinds of things. Then I do my own to cover all the tech gadgets and stuff that we want to talk about. And then I join the podcasters and hang out with them, the color commentary for him. And then at work, something completely different. I have two different shows there. So I do all these different varieties of it. I don't know if I make any sense.
Brian says he yells too when he's listening to Hannah and I. That's when he yells.
Addie, if you get a chance, Mike does a podcast called Suit and Scrubs, and it's him and his wife Hannah, and they just talk about family stuff, just marriage and just being married. That you guys been married now 6-9 months?
9 months.
When's your 1 year?
9 months. January 3rd.
Okay. So it's super.
Subscribe.
Yeah, it's a super fun. I think it's quickly becoming. It's been a while since you guys have done one, but
yeah, we started out doing every other week. We're like, we might have to be a monthly podcast, which is, with as busy as both of us are, we're going to
super. I love the content. Love. I mean, it's like real life kind of podcast.
That's what we want it to be. It was just like, talk about what really happens, talk about what really happens while keeping it a podcast that I would have my mom listen to and not be completely embarrassed. Because there's both ends. We listen to some podcasts where it's totally funny, but it's funny because they get into the stuff that everyone blushes when they talk about. And Hannah and I are like, well, we don't want to go that far, but we still want to talk about all the funny things that happen. So we're kind of that fine line. And sometimes maybe we'll tease the line, but it's a podcast you can listen to with your kids in the car. That's the whole
thing. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, you guys do a nice job. Hannah's so cute about it. She's getting better.
She is. She's really getting into her groove when it comes to, I can't wait for this next episode. Because she, Addie, she's not a podcaster. She's never podcasted. She's never gotten behind a microphone. So she's loved it. She's gotten really, really good at it these past few weeks.
Drop the link to that in the
downloading it right now.
Oh, good. Look at that. Nice.
Yeah. Drop a link in there,
the
Mike.
First
so
episode might make the rest of them make sense. Everyone always asks, oh, should I go back and listen to the beginning? I say, you might want to listen to number one, and then you can jump ahead to any other one. But the number one is kind of our backstory.
Listen to all of them. You think? They're not long. Okay.
That's true. They're not. They're like,
if you're coming new, there's not many of them.
And there's only four right now.
Just binge all four. But you want to hear it. You'll hear, for me as a podcaster, you hear this progression of Hannah getting better each week as she goes through. Mm-hmm. And so it's been fun. Mike, you know, is always asking me for feedback. And so I've been just kind of coaching him on coaching Hannah. And it's just fun to hear her get better every week. And I think as podcasters, we're that way ourselves. I mean, God, I go back. I've done, what did we do? 233 tonight of Home Gadget Geek. So, we're 233 episodes into that. I go back and listen to the first couple.
God, that's terrible.
You just want to shut it off as soon as possible.
Yeah, how the hell did anyone listen to that garbage?
You just get more comfortable over time as you podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. It's one of those things that you just got to go. Oh, good. You just got to go and do. So, yeah, if you're going to listen to Suit and Scrubs, you got to start at the beginning. They're quick. They go pretty fast. It's a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying that series for sure.
We have fun with it. It's by far one of the most fun hours now, 2 weeks from it is.
No, it's awesome.
Last.
Yeah, and it's just real. I listen to so much tech podcasts, or podcasts about podcasting. Addie, you're probably in that same boat, right? Do you listen to a lot of podcasts about podcasting?
Oh, yeah. That's like more than half of my library. Besides the storytelling and the other things. Yeah.
So Dave's got this last five at five. What's he say? Anyway, so I'll ask both of you this question. Addie, what's kind of the last five podcasts you listen to?
Okay. So I just finished listening to Ancestry.com. Ooh. They have a podcast. I didn't know they had a podcast until I saw this show called Who Do You Think You Are? And then I was thinking, this would make for a good podcast. Wait, let me go check. Boom, they have a podcast. Yeah, so that was really interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
I also listened to 99% Invisible. It's a design show.
That's a great name.
Yeah, 99% Invisible.
Yeah, that's a great name. Yeah.
Latino USA, they do a lot of documentary news culture talk. So I do like that podcast. So that's three. So Serial is the big show, right? But the people behind Serial, at least those close to the person who's been convicted, there's a show called Undisclosed. So I've been hooked on that one. And then the last one I listened to was The Feed, the Libsyn podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one to listen to for sure. Mike, what about you?
Okay. I'll leave out all the ones in our network. I always listen to all those. So all of our, the Home Gadget Geeks, Cyberfront, Ask the Podcast Coach. But besides those, let's see. Night Attack is my favorite. It's a very not safe, but Night Attack. it's Brian, last name. But anyway, a popular guy on social media. He does that. The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. If you're at all into Mac and you like just constant tips, deep dive into tech, tips, it's perfect. I learn all of my Mac tech stuff from them. Airline Pilot Guy. I like airline stuff, and he's a pilot himself. One. Yeah, he was on the Podcasters Roundtable, I believe. And that's how I picked him up, and really cool. Just even for people who just have a general interest in aviation. So he talks about kind of the experience from the pilot side. His whole theme is like the view from my side of the cockpit door. So it's kind of cool. You get a whole nother perspective on flights. Couple Things Podcast is a very much kind of like our podcast, but it's two couples and they go around and each of them has a question, and they're pretty funny. They get into some really funny, deep, when I say, well, just whatever conversations, and they're pretty hysterical. So that's a few. And then what was the other one? The Morning Stream. Still love The Morning Stream. Those guys kind of win all the podcasts to think of it.
Not very cool. So
not much tech now, though. I guess I've eliminated.
I'm moving away from
down
that.
On tech. So, yeah.
Well, I'm getting hooked. I got hooked on podcasts about podcasts, and I'm trying to pull myself out of that thing.
For group therapy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just, so Podcasters Group Therapy.
Yeah,
I listen to Podcasters Help Desk or Podcast Help Desk with Mike Dell. Mike's become kind of a friend, and so listen to that. I've gotten hooked on Clamorcast, Dave's Clamorcast. just like, because you don't know, and you listen to some of those clamors and you're like, oh my God, how does that stuff ever make it in, you know, from that standpoint? Spreaker, the Spreaker live show with Rob Green, Greenlee over there, that's been interesting to kind of see him grow in that, into that podcast. Even Rob Greenlee, who's done a lot of this, you know, it's tough to find the voice. I was talking with him, or maybe I was emailing with him, and he had said, you know, they've tried a couple different formats for that Spreaker live show. And I think he's finally landing where he's comfortable, but that's a, just a perfect example of that. Observe Tech is my Windows, my favorite Windows podcast, because Rich goes through the Windows news in like 35 minutes and it is a bullet. I mean, here's a guy you don't have to do 2.5 speed for. Because he does it, himself, and so he goes super fast through that. But I think my favorite right now is Radiolab, and you know, I know that's been a radio show for a long time on NPR, and I've listened to that before. But super convenient to have that via podcast now; it's so easier to listen to it. And Gallup is perfect for Radiolab style stories. And so I'm trying to convince the powers that be that we should do a Radiolab style, you know, storytelling like Serial. If you haven't listened to Radiolab before, I'm trying to see if they will let me do it. So I got a preliminary yes yesterday. Like, okay, so let's try some things and see where it goes. So those take forever to produce. So,
I think Union Pacific needs to jump on that. If I knew I was going to be there after I graduated, I think, you know, their whole tagline is Building America. I think you could do a whole Building America podcast and get all those stories from the railroad. They have so much deep history that I think that would be and people love trains, which is, Jim, you brought someone to one of our meetups who said everyone loves trains. Their whole social media strategy is posting train pictures because those get all the likes and the views. And so I think just telling stories about, you know, however it relates to the railroad.
Mark asked, where can I listen and play this again? Mark, I think there's a replay section. When we're done, I think it goes over to a replay section. I will probably take this and produce it through my podcast. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv, I'll throw that in chat too and do that. It's hard to talk and type at the same time. It'll be out in one of those shows out there. I think we'll probably do a special blab edition, and I might even save it for an empty space that I got in there. Yeah. Brian says it might be a good filler for the week when I'm at MVP summit. Fine. Indeed.
Next few weeks.
What are we the next time? Yeah. So we have Kyle next week. Okay. Then I'm at Microsoft the 5th. So I'll be out. So maybe we'll fill this in with that. And then I have the founder and chief inventor at Ring.com coming on Home Gadget Geeks in the next couple of weeks. So, Eddie, have you heard of Ring.com? They've been advertising on the Twit network, but are you familiar with them? So basically, it's a replacement for your doorbell, and it's got a camera and it's cloud enabled. And so it's sending video up to the cloud that you can go back and get, see who's at the front door, see who's stealing your packages. Those kinds of things. So this industrial, very secure type thing. One of the guys said a couple of weeks ago, they would love to have that integrated with a motion sensor. So you come up and the light comes on, turns the camera on so you can see what's going on your.
I'm interested in that. I like surveillance.
Yeah. Well, you should come out and listen on that. That's the 12th of November. We'll have the founder and chief inventor of Ring. So that's pretty cool. John Larson from the AIM Institute here in Omaha, pre-Thanksgiving, he has a little camera. No kidding. The thing is, it's this big and this thick. And you can take a 35 millimeter lens, any lens, just attach it to it, and then just hold the lens and take pictures.
That's cool.
And it's got a 64 gig SD card inside of it that you can just pull it. So think about a camera, you know, the lens cap. Think about a camera condensed to almost twice the thickness of a lens cap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So John's going to come on and talk about that. I thought, dude, we got to.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so he was just walking around the conference. Just it's got a little, you know, little thing on it. So, the cool thing is it's got a phone app. So you can have you can be holding it, and the viewfinder is your phone.
Oh, I see. That's cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like the real time, it was super good. So John's going to come on the 19th and talk about that.
Have you seen those tracking devices? I see them on actual YouTube advertisements. So it's a tripod with a electronic thing on top, and you can set a GoPro up there, or a DSLR, and you wear a band. So imagine surfing is the example they gave, and they set it on the beach, and you go out there, and as you're surfing right to left, the tripod's following you because it knows your wristband. And so at the end, you can do a one-person really shoot of you surfing, of you doing anything, where they showed it on race cars, so they'll put it on a car, and the camera will follow the car. It's kind of cool. Huh. I'd be interested in testing out.
How long before we have drones that do that? I was just thinking as you were talking about that.
A long time from now. I don't
know. Imagine a drone that's you've got a device on you, and you walk out and the drone, and then it's filming, you know, it's watching you. I mean, think about the security possibilities with that. If you're worried about that, you could be watching yourself. That's creepy. But you could have a camera on you. Addy, you're going to go out and you're concerned, right? You're going to the park or something. You could, and the drone would, and it just might fly at 1,000 feet and hover and be watching you. Someone could be, you know, you could, is that creepy? If you're doing it, you're watching yourself, basically, you're filming.
I think it's kind of egotistic.
Well, but not to show it on Facebook again. Yeah. I'm thinking from a security standpoint, right?
Yeah, I see that. But I do see a lot of privacy breaching that people would be concerned about.
With as techy as I am and how much I love innovation, for some reason, drones haven't, I kind of hope they don't take off as fast as they are. Just because they, for some reason, they weird me out. It's kind of like snakes. I hate snakes. I don't like drones. They just, for some reason, I have an aversion to. I think it's the fact that they can just be anywhere and stay in one position and have cameras on them and completely open to anyone to see. And, you know, I live on the 3rd floor apartment, so no one can look in my windows. And now that's an issue. You know, now someone could very easily look through my windows. You know, I would never live on the ground floor. It would freak me out. So it's just,
I mean, just think about, like, say you have one of these drones that's flying around all day and it's filming, it's keeping a day's worth of whatever you did, and something happens to you, an accident or whatever, and you can just go back to that footage and say, nope, this is where I was at, or this is what I was doing. Now, if everybody was doing that, the skies, can you imagine how weird that would be?
Insurance companies would love it.
Yeah.
Well, just think, I mean, in Russia, you know, right? Everybody,
I saw you eat that large pizza all on your own. I'm upping your rates.
How about the drone hitting your head?
Yeah, there we go. I'm also worried about the thing running out of battery at the wrong time. Yeah.
That's true. It's Ken had asked about Cyber Frontiers. When's the next? Any updates on Cyber Frontiers? Yeah, the boys are just really busy. Ken,
brought to you by State Farm.
We're hoping this week, Ken. So, anyways, yeah, I was just thinking though. I remember, you know, in the old Star Trek movies, right? Science fiction always is way out ahead of what we're actually go. You know, remember on Next Generation, and they'd all had these little devices they'd hold in their hand, and they were always doing things on them, and you think in those days you're like, what could you do on a flat, you know, component? What really could you do, right? I remember thinking that watching Next Generation. Well, apparently you can do a lot,
yeah,
you know, yeah, from that standpoint. And we, you know, we talked to the computer, it was Siri, you know, those kinds of things. So but in Star Trek in those days, they always had cameras. They, you know, like they could replay any situation from any angle at any time. And I always kind of wondered, how are they going to do that? Well, in today's society of cameras everywhere and small cameras everywhere, it's not unreasonable to think you could get that kind of footage of yourself or whatever, especially in this case, a military vehicle. But still, you know, you think about all this stuff around you and you could replay the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of movies who predicted like technology or shows a lot of technology back in the 80s, it's the anniversary of Back to the Future. It hits this year, 2015, October.
And so, they picked the Cubs to win the World Series, and it might be happening.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be if the Cubs
They're not going to win because they'd have to play the Royals in the end.
Okay. But how crazy would that be if the Cubs won? And I think it was October 21st.
No, it was today.
I want to say, was it today, the 16th? Marty show or the 15th? Marty shows up today.
I think it was October 15th. Chad will correct us. I thought it was today.
That's today. Yeah, Ken says it's today. 10/15/15. Cool. Do you remember thinking, okay, well, I was the only one who's watching these movies in real time. Let's just admit that, right? I'm the only old guy in the room. I was watching this as a teenager, the original movies. Do you, I guess the second one was a couple years later, but it was still in the middle 80s.
Watching those?
Yeah. I never thought we'd get to that day. Like, you know, you don't think
way far off.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that's way in the future. 2015? I couldn't
what
even
year were they made?
Imagine 80. Well, the one they go into the future would have been Back to the Future 2, and that would probably been, I don't know, maybe somebody.
I know it came out in the 80s. I don't know exactly when.
So, I mean, still 30 years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just kind of think, IMDb will tell me, 1989. So, yeah, you start thinking 2015, man, that's a long ways away. And it's here it is. It's today. Yeah. That's weird. God, I'm old.
The first time I watched that movie.
And I'm wearing a t-shirt with a parrot on it. So I'm old and I'm a dork. All right. Well, guys, I think a good experiment. Addie, thanks for staying extra late with us. Good.
Thanks for having me. Time
with you. I was a little jealous.
We've never gone this long. That's pretty cool. It was fun over on Blab.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Addie, a little
39.
Jealous.
That was really good.
Yeah. I was a little jealous Dave got to podcast with you. Excuse me, this weekend, and I didn't. So now I got him back. Ha ha.
Yeah. It's always fun. I've told you, Jim, about this, and I'll say it here. This is a fun community to come and join. So the second you ask me, I'm like, yes, let's do it. We had to reschedule once, but I love coming on to the show.
No, I'm so glad you could. I appreciate you doing that and staying around. And I love, you know, it's been fun for me. So you get to be a part of our community when we do this, and it's a whole different community than the podcasters community that we hang out with. For me, it was really fun joining the podcasters community because that's not a community I'd been in. And through Dave and meeting all you guys, Mike coming in on this too, I got to join this really cool, tight-knit group of podcasters, and which is just super fun. So it's been fun to see the streams cross in my world and the worlds collide. And, you know, don't cross the streams, Ray. And it's been fun to get to know all these people. So it's just really cool. If you're listening, if you're out on Blab and you're listening to this and you don't have a community you're tied into along these ways, find one to get plugged into, meet some people and get it done. It's super rewarding. And people always tell me all the time, like, hey, so how does that work? They just don't get it that we as a community would do anything for each other from that. And they're like, have you ever met? And I'm like, well, not in person. You know, a lot of the people, Addie, I've never met you in person, but I know you. Mike, you live in Omaha. We've met a bunch of times.
I'm old news.
He's just the old standby. But I think we don't say that enough, I think, in our podcasting. Maybe that's something I need to add in when we're talking about all those things that make a podcast successful. I think we need to add to it, join a community where you get great support from people, right? I think that makes a big difference. You've been, Addie, how long have you been podcasting?
Over three years.
Yeah, a while. And I think you would find that really important, right? To get, and everybody loves it. You are the most recognizable. I'm going to be serious here. You're the most recognizable person in the podcast communities. We'll be out there, everybody's chatting, and then Addie comes in. It's like, Addie, he's here.
Very, very true.
It's like it's like the party, you know. It's like, oh, the party can start now.
Yeah.
Because Addie's here. So whatever you're doing, keep doing. Nice. And thanks for coming in. With that, we'll call it a night. And thanks for coming out, Mike. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us.
Did you ever give the people who have just, I think we have a lot of people who are just from Blab, the link to the show for if they want to come
listen
to the actual show?
Yeah. Well,
so
let's see.
People who just joined us, we didn't do the actual show here.
No.
We do it over on the website.
I dropped that. I'll do that again. In fact, if they want to go back and watch what we did tonight. So if you're in Blab and you want to see what we did tonight, that's sitting out here at live.theaverageguy.tv. Addie came on, Mike, Addie, myself. That's the tech podcast that we do. That's out there. That is in replay right now. So if you want to head out there.
20 minutes of pre-show.
Yeah. You'd have to commit some serious time to it because 20 minutes of pre-show and then an hour of the show. You could start it and then skip ahead 20 minutes and the show would start.
Not the edited version yet.
That way. So if you want to do that as well. Oh, here's so Jeremy put the image from Back to the Future in the chat room. And
there we go.
It's October. Oh, it is the 21st.
Yeah. You were right.
I thought it was the 21st.
Yep.
So is that right? October 21st and then 8:15, right? 8:15 on the, because it's military time, right?
See, but that's the destination. That's when he's going back. I thought when he goes to the future, isn't it the 15th? And then when he goes back, the current time, because that says current present time.
Look, don't try to be right when I. I was already right. Just leave it alone.
Like once, if that. So I won't challenge anyone. I just, yeah.
He just wants me to be wrong. Why did you do that to me?
For once.
So, Jeremy, thanks, sir. We'll give that. We should give Jeremy a star.
We should.
Ooh, I took one away. Give him a star for doing that as well. And again, follow the link if you want to see the live program from tonight. It's out at live.theaverageguy.tv. And with that, I think we'll cut it off. Thanks, Addy. Thanks, Mike. Yeah. Take care.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that kind of pre-recorded what we did a couple weeks ago off of Blab. It was fun to do and very unscripted, just some post-show. And, you know, if you come out live, that's kind of what you get. It's a great opportunity to come see us and check us out and go into the chat room. And in this case, we tried blab.im, and so that worked out really well. Want to let you know, if you have questions, comments, or contributions, you know you can send me an email. Always send that to jim@theaverageguy.tv. Track me down on Twitter, and many of you are following me now, at Jay Collison on Twitter. And, of course, you can always reach us, and, like, even right now as I'm recording this, here on Sunday, you can reach me at thetalk.to. If you see that little red tab, bottom right-hand corner of the browser, it says chat with Jim. If you want to click on that, if I'm available, it'll ring me, and then I can get with you, and we can talk one-on-one. Great way to contact me. And that is the great doc. The talk.to is the way to get to that. You can get that available for free, and it's just a little JavaScript you add to your browser, and it works out great. So if you have your own website and you want to do one-on-one chat with your customers on it, check it out, talktawk.to, theaverageguy.tv's platform. Both web and media hosting powered by MapleGrove partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and trust. For more information, visit maplegrovepartners.com. Christian's taking customers, and that's his platform. If you want to do that, again, maplegrovepartners.com. You can also listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the new Android and iPhone app. I've been saying this for a while here, but you can catch the live and recorded versions out there whenever we go live on Spreaker. It's available if you're traveling. You can get that right there on your phone. It's all in a single app. Go out to either of the stores, the Play Store or the Apple Store, for apps and search Home Gadget Geeks. Free, super cool. And we're no longer going to stream on Mixlr anymore. We're done with that. It's all going to go on to Spreaker. And we want to thank LastPass for them sponsoring that app. Very generous in being able to, and really $200 to get that done. And so we appreciate LastPass for all they've done. All available, all mobile. Get that downloaded and give it a try. I'd love your feedback on it as well. Don't forget, if you're using Amazon, I used a bunch of Amazon this weekend, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. We always appreciate that. If you're in Canada, it's theaverageguy.tv/AmazonCA, and that benefits our account in Canada as well. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. I need to get one out to you. It's all right. We're already early November. I'm hoping to get one of those out here this week. I've been working on it. I'll be honest with you, all my letter writing has gone towards my son in the Marines. So, haven't spent a lot of time writing the newsletter, but always great to have you on the mailing list. And if we get opportunities to share things with you, I do that through the newsletter. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/newsletter to get that done. And last but not least, thanks for listening today, and thanks for just listening all the time. I appreciate you giving me a week off, and I appreciate all that you do for the podcast. If you're ever available, you can join us live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, at theaverageguy.tv/live. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.